This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run, and you're here with Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Gunnison. It has just gone past 7:07 in the morning, Thursday, the 24th of December. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Kuching, on the COVID-19 Parliamentary Select Committee. But before that, markets, what's happening on that front, Roshan?
Well, Xiaoning, after a week of what has been predominantly a red day, a red week when we wake up and talk about the numbers here, it's pretty much green this morning. US markets were in the green with the Dow up 0.4%. The S&P 500 was up marginally under 0.1%, while the NASDAQ was in the red, though. It was down 0.3%.
Shock horror.
Shock horror.
And just to remind everyone what a stellar run the NASDAQ has had, it's up 42% only on a year-to-date basis. Beat that.
Wow, that is quite an amazing number if you take a look at things, and if you, even if you take a look at the longer situation here. But anyway, if we look at the close yesterday in Asia, Xiaoning, it was a green day across the board. Japan was up 0.3%, Hong Kong was up 0.9%, Shanghai was up 0.8%, Singapore was up 0.2%, and the FBM KLCI was up 1%. And this was coming off the day before where we saw that really strong red day.
Yeah, so for more on international markets, we have on the line with us Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Now, Tony, with volumes on US equities drying up ahead of the, of course, holiday season, are you expecting investors to hit the sell button or to keep this whole positions over the period? Because the market's somewhat a little bit more happy today, a little bit more green.
Yeah, good morning. You know, I'm not really sure. There is not a conviction either way right now. I think investors aren't really sure that they're ready to pull the plug on things. I think people are really waiting to see what's going to happen with this stimulus plan. I think they're waiting to see how smoothly the transition goes with the U.S. government. And I think, quite frankly, they're waiting to see how companies' Q4 earnings come in. So I think for the next few weeks, aside from some commodities plays, we're not entirely convinced we're going to see dramatic movements in one way or the other.
And I'm just curious, following up on that, right? So for the moment, it still seems that even though the NASDAQ corrected a little bit today, the work from home theme is here to stay as a defensive play?
Well, I don't, you know, that play, sure, that's an effective play, but the benefit, the upside to that play, it's really questionable. No, you know, as you were saying, the NASDAQ's up 40%, over 40% this year. Really, how questionable? When you look at the valuation multiples on some of these tech companies, you know, for Tesla, you're looking at over 1,000. For some of these tech companies, you're looking at 50 to 200 to revenue. So, and that's not just earnings, that's to revenue. So some of these tech plays are a bit played out. That's not to say you're going to see necessarily some downside, but the upside I don't believe is necessarily as high as it has been in 2020. You know, you have these moments in markets where you see serious upside in different sectors, and then it calms down for a bit. So I think we've seen that in 2020. Are we at the seat in 2021? We're not convinced. That may be possible, but we've seen some pretty hard close downs where people have had to very quickly transition to work from home. And I think a lot of that valuation and those forward multiples are largely played out, although there's still probably a little bit of upside there.
Yeah, and if we look at the performance of the S&P 500, it was really the day for financials and also the energy stocks. Do you think these themes will continue into 2021?
Yeah, I think, well, certainly the finance stocks, I think, are partly a result of the expectation of stimulus, whether that's, you know, $600 per person to $2,000 per person in the U.S. If that changes, then, you know, there should be more, say, transactional activity in financial services with energy. There's an expectation that people will start, you know, flying a bit more and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's positive. I think the expectation on margins within, say, oil and gas firms as they refine their products, that sort of thing, I think that's a bit higher. Those margins, obviously, as a percentage go up, as the nominal value goes up. So, you know, there's certainly some higher expectations there. We've been saying for several months that, you know, we've expected oil prices to rise toward the end of December and early January. And that's playing out as we've expected for probably about 6 months. But we do expect crude prices to fall going into, say, February. So while those margin plays are there now, we don't necessarily expect that to be there at the end of Q1.
And then moving to the UK, the sterling has taken, I mean, it's kind of appreciated this morning on the back of the news that a Brexit deal might be ironed out. But where do you see the currency heading?
Well, we've expected, the pound to weaken a bit on the kind of immediacy of the news. But over time, we expect the pound to reappreciate because there really is value in the UK. There's a lot of wishful thinking within the EU that Britain would suffer as they exit the EU. But we've done a lot of analysis on this over the last 3 years, and there's really just a lot of upside for the UK to separate. So, that's not a political view. That's purely an economic view. So we do expect, we have expected the pound to take a bit of a pounding in the short term, but we do expect it to reappreciate as that separation gets in place.
And looking a little bit in this region, right, Malaysia and Vietnam, they recently placed higher tariffs on Chinese steel. And although unrelated, this comes after China imposed some additional duties on various Australian imports. Do you see these tit-for-tat tariffs going to continue to be the norm in 2021? And there's honestly no end to it?
Yeah, we've been saying for a couple of years that, we've expected trade to turn from these fairly invisible punitive trade activities like subsidies and non-tariff barriers, which is really regulatory, into direct tariffs. So kind of going back to the 1980s, kind of pre-WTO, really there's more of a fiscal benefit for the country than the kind of protectionist benefit of, say, a non-tariff barrier, meaning a regulation, something like that. So the countries, many countries are a bit tapped out on subsidies, so they're not necessarily going to be able to pay their industry as much to protect them. So they're going to raise tariffs to generate revenue. Now, specifically with Chinese steel, there is a global glut of Chinese steel, as there has been for years. So I really don't find it surprising that these tariffs have been levied. Because a couple, Vietnam has a little bit of its own steel industry, this sort of thing. So they're protecting themselves a little bit. But the glut of Chinese steel is well overdone, and there's been talk about that for years.
All right. Thank you for your time. And that was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us his views on global markets and saying at the current moment, there doesn't seem to be much conviction in terms of market direction. What were your key takeaways, Roshan?
I quite liked hearing what he was talking about, the work from home defensive play, right? Basically, while there isn't, he's not saying that there's going to be downside here, but the potential for upside is maybe it's been priced in this year already, right? Because we've seen that, what was it? The Nasdaq was up 42%
year to date.
Yeah. So maybe we've seen that priced in already, and whether there's going to be more upside going forward, that's the question on everyone's minds. But that's not to say that it's going to correct or that it's a downside. That basically, don't expect 42% to be the norm going forward.
Because it's already gone up. I mean, the base level has been raised, right? So, and maybe there might be some money flow into some of the cyclicals, especially energy and financials, which hadn't had such a good 2020. But also moving on to the US, I mean, apparently Bloomberg has reported that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's attempt to pass a bill boosting stimulus payments for individuals to $2,000 will fail. Now, this is as House Minority Leader told the Republican members that he's poised to block the unanimous consent request that the House of Democrats will make. Now, President Trump, still making a little bit of noise before he leaves on January 20th, has said that on Tuesday he wanted larger payments for individuals in the coronavirus relief package that Congress passed Monday night, and Pelosi immediately said she agreed. But apparently just one House member could block the bill Pelosi plans for later today.
Yeah, she and her lieutenants would then need to decide whether they want to bring it before the entire House for a roll call vote. Trump's surprise demand also cast doubt over whether he'd signed a $2.3 trillion spending bill, and it's unclear whether congressional Republicans would vote to override the president should he reject the legislation.
Oh, how this political weave continues to get tangled. But we'll keep everyone updated on this news. But up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Kuching.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.